760 The Quest, your Atlantic Catholic Radio, presents The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey. Now, here's Josh and Allison.
Good morning, Greater Atlanta and beyond. This is The Morning Quest, where we help you find joy in the journey. My name is Josh Harris, and we're joined by some wonderful Catholics this morning.
And me,
Dave's
too.
Also here. Yeah, he's there, too.
And Dave's in the, he's in the main seat. Woohoo.
Woohoo, woohoo.
Woohoo, woohoo.
And before we kick things off, Allison, do you have a prayer for us?
Sure. Let's start in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day you've given us. We thank you for the gift of technology where we can glorify your name and just share your goodness with all that encounter the show, Lord. So just spread it wide and just fill us with your Holy Spirit and help us to inspire and bring joy to those people in their cars and at home and just doing whatever they're called to do. So we just thank you for this opportunity, and we ask you to protect all technology and just protect us all as we glorify your holy name. We ask this in Jesus' most holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Father, Son,
amen.
Holy Spirit, amen.
Things are a little off Amen. This morning.
They are. And that's where I'm like, technology, Holy Spirit, come upon the technology.
Well, it's just a little different just because Josh is not in this room right now.
But it sounds like he is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got the special sauce over here to make it sound like I'm right there with you, because Dave is a radio expert. He's got me this sweet, super portable mic that integrates with my computer. And yeah, it's magic.
Awesome, awesome. And why are you not in the studio today, Josh? Share.
Well, I gotten my license revoked. No, I'm
You're so silly.
Riding the bicycle now, are you?
Exactly. It really would be a morning quest to get to you guys.
Yes, it would be.
Coming
from where you are.
400 on your bicycle, yeah.
Just visualizing that is too funny.
Go around! Go around!
But you got something exciting planned this weekend,
do
you not?
I'm leaving right after this show to do two events in Totopolis, Illinois. Yeah, so tonight I'm speaking to their, like, yeah, young adult group, and, you know, high schoolers, stuff like that. And then tomorrow I'm doing a stand-up comedy show for everybody. So looking forward to that. Should be really fun. Interesting place. I mean, they apparently the whole town is Catholic. They only have a Catholic church in town.
Wow.
And, yeah. And then this blows my mind. I think it's the only place, I've been told, it's the only place in the country where the Catholic Church owns the public school.
That's wild. It's amazing.
Yeah. So they actually teach religion before school, and they don't mandate everybody come, but everybody apparently shows up. So, because they want to be there. It's wild, man. So I'm looking forward to, experiencing this place for myself.
That sounds exciting. And yeah, this week, but you will be back on Friday in the studio. And you are going to join in too, correct?
I will be with you guys Friday. So my show actually is Thursday night as well. So I'll be still be in Illinois on Friday, but I will be joining y'all remote.
I love it. I love it. Well,
what about you? What's going on in your world?
Well, I've had a lot of excitement going on. So it's so fun. This past weekend, my daughter Mary and I, we drove to North Carolina. She plays on a travel flag, girls flag football team, and they had a tournament there. So before we went to Mooresville, we stopped to visit my niece who goes to, I think it's Western Carolina University, which, I forgot the name of the city, but it's near Sylva, North Carolina, and it's in the mountains. So talking about beauty of the mountains, I'm like, oh my gosh, Lord, just your majesty, your creation is amazing. But it's so cool. So we met my sister out there and my niece, and we had lunch in the town of Sylva, North Carolina, in the mountains. And I was looking around at the place, and I saw there was a Catholic church that was like 2 minutes away. So I'm like, Mary, let's go say hi to Jesus. So here we are finding the Catholic church. Super duper cute, tiny, small, but just a beautiful, beautiful in the nature, St. Mary, Mother of God. So we went mm-hmm. inside, and it was so beautiful. Again, we are so blessed to be Catholic. Wherever we are in the world, you know, mm-hmm. there's Catholic churches, and we can walk in, and when you see the light on, when you see the candle, in the red, you know, little holder, Jesus is there. So we were praying a yep. little bit, and I was just in heaven, seriously, just there praying with her.
And oh, that's great.
And as I was walking out, I always like getting bulletins when I'm leaving, right? And I couldn't find a mm-hmm. bulletin. So we're walking out, and there's like a little tiny little table that has information on it. And guess what was on that table?
A quest.
Tell me.
No, but I was quest, like, why yeah. did I not bring quest magnets, quest app cards? Now I know to keep them stashed in there. No, there was a brochure from St. Brendan the Navigator.
Oh, really?
And whoa. I was absolutely blown away. Here we are in Sylva, North Carolina, and there's a brochure for St. Brendan. So I texted Pastor Riley, one of the wonderful priests that does Gospels here on our show, and I said, mm-hmm. look what I found. And he was like, wow, that's so cool. So again, you never know where people have heard about us yeah. or the different parishes. We're all one body in Christ. So
that's awesome.
And then on top
yeah,
of that.
Yeah, give that communications director a raise.
I know. And then on top of that, I know we got a wrap up this little segment. Mary's team, they won the championship. They won 3 regular games in a row, and then boom, right into the championship. Wow. So she got a ring.
Nice.
So it's exciting.
I know, because I was betting on them.
You were well, you won. You won the too. Jackpot. So fun yeah. weekend last weekend.
It's hey, not real, a hidden vice.
Real quick, I just want to mention that the pledge drive that we had last week, we've extended it. We didn't quite reach our goal, and we've got some people that are going to do some matching money.
Oh.
Some anonymous donors nice. have given us matching money. So if you want to go to thequestatlanta.com.
Please do.
Or to the Quest Atlanta app on your phone, you can donate there. And anything you donate, I'm going to have to check when the office people get in here today, but I'm pretty sure there's at least $7,500 in matching funds. Mm. So if you want to, whatever you donate today,
and we'll
that goes for the first 12 months of a monthly
awesome,
pledge
awesome.
As well.
So please
keep that in mind.
Just ahead on the Morning Quest.
Dr. Crete gives a psychological movie review on The Kid, uncovering themes of healing and the inner child, self-compassion, as well as restoration. Our buddy Chuck Persner helps us get acquainted with St. Hildegard. Father Adam Blatt, pastor of Christ, our King and Savior, unpacks today's gospel reading. But next, Amy McDonald, director of evangelization and faith formation, will be talking about the upcoming Building Your Marriage Before It Starts at Holy Spirit Catholic Church, taking place in November.
Finding joy in the journey. This is the Morning Quest with Josh and Allison on your Atlanta Catholic Radio. AM 1160, The Quest.
We are joined.
Oh, Josh, this is
ladies
something that.
First.
What a gentleman you are, Josh. What a gentleman. We are so happy to have Amy McDonald, again, Director of Evangelization and Faith Formation at Holy Spirit Catholic Church. She's here and she's going to be talking about the upcoming workshop, Building Your Marriage Before It Starts. So welcome back, Amy.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, well, this is important because, again, the domestic church is family and mm-hmm. how our family started right with marriage. And it's so important to be armed and ready before going into marriage. So this is a wonderful, wonderful retreat that Holy Spirit Catholic Church has. I know mm-hmm. there are other ones in the Archdiocese. So mm-hmm. thrilled to have you here talking about it.
Yes. And Amy, what makes this one day marriage workshop at Holy Spirit so special for engaged couples?
Well, it is the only workshop or marriage prep program that the Archdiocese offers that is one day. Mm-hmm. So it's quite popular for couples that aren't able to do the more extended versions. So it is popular. We always have a full house, which is wonderful.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's probably the most attractive element of it for couples. But it is it is solid. It's nothing is gypped.
Yeah, but yeah, it is amazing. Yeah, it is great. Always packed. I mean, last time I was going to have you come on, it was already full. So I was okay, let's wait mm-hmm. till have you come on again and talk about it for November.
Right.
So going off script here, when should people register? I mean, could they be parishioners at any other parishes? Should they register now to get in, since we know these get booked pretty quickly?
Yes. So it is open to anyone in the Archdiocese, and we have people from all over that come, which is wonderful. I would say as soon as you know about it and talk to your, you know, get information from your priest or deacon that you're working with, go ahead and register, because they do fill up quickly. We do still have about, I think, maybe 10 slots open, maybe a little less than that, actually, for November. But all of the 2026 dates are also available and listed. So you can go ahead and start registering for those as well. We already have people registered for February. So,
oh, my goodness gracious. Yeah. Praise God.
I know. Right? It is. It's wonderful.
So, Amy, you have a deacon, a licensed social worker, and married couples leading together. How does this team approach help couples as they go through this preparation?
I think it gives a sort of a holistic approach for them. So Deacon Bill McCarthy is our resident clergy that participates, and he always gives the church's perspective. What does the church say about marriage? What does the church say about forgiveness and communication? What is the church's role about children and, you know, theology of the body? So he comes with that perspective. And then our licensed counselor, Jimmy Grebe, is obviously, he leads the workshop. And so he talks about it from kind of a clinical, but, you know, not super clinical, I guess, perspective. And then the couples, I feel like, offer rounded off with, okay, this is what it looks like in the real world.
Yes.
Here's how we've handled it. And all of the couples have been married, you know, 30 years and more. So they have a wealth of experience from the very beginning through raising all of their children, all the family issues that come into, all the financial issues that they've dealt with. So they provide a huge perspective, I think, for the couples.
And I think that's so important, because it's so easy, you know, you're engaged, you're going to get married, everything's going to be rainbows and butterflies.
Always, yeah.
And marriage is not easy. I mean, you have to die to yourself daily.
Right.
So it's so good to hear these other couples talking about how life happens and things happen, and you work as a team to make it happen and to make it work.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. And Jimmy is, a licensed marriage counselor. So he talks about, like, here's what I see in counseling.
Yeah.
Here's what couples are coming to. Yeah, this is where, at least, you know, he can kind of provide the perspective of, here's what I see that couples struggle with.
Yes.
And so take it now, you know, start learning, you know, so, yeah.
Yeah. Well, so you have all these great resources and experts in place. So what kind of feedback have you been getting from couples that go through the program?
Well, the feedback that we've gotten in the last couple of years, we actually address it in the workshop. So some of the feedback that we've gotten is the couples wish that there was more couple time during the workshop, which is wonderful. And we kind of tell them, well, if there was more couple time, it would end up being 2 days.
2 days, yeah.
So, you know, I kind of give an announcement like, this is wonderful. We take the material and take a separate day. Mm-hmm. Take a day for yourselves and go over it again and spend that time together. So, you know, don't let the end here. And then the additional feedback that we've gotten in the past is, you know, it tends to be younger couples. Wonderful.
Yeah.
But then they say, well, we wish there were the witness couples were a little bit younger, more our age and, you know, in our state of life. And I'll say, I understand that, except that if a couple is coming in around your age, then they've only been married 5, 6, 7 years.
Have an experience.
They have limited experience. Mm-hmm. The couples that we have here have 30 years together. They've lived through all the things that you are going to live through. It's valuable to learn from them. And I think everyone's like, oh, yeah, okay. But then, you know, I tend to get after the workshop, a handful of people that reach out and want to connect directly with Jimmy, the counselor. So that's always, you know, great. I mean, he kind of says, if you want to talk about this more, you know, reach out. And so some of them do. So
that's
always
wonderful.
Nice to hear.
Oh,
yeah,
my gosh,
yeah,
yes. Yeah. So, you know, this meets all the Archdiocese requirements. What should couples expect from their day with you?
Well, it is a full day. Mm-hmm. We have Mass at 8:30 that we invite couples to join us for daily Mass. And then we start right away at 9:00 and it goes till 4:00. And it is a full day because it's only one day.
Yeah.
So we take 10, you know, few minute breaks here and there, but it is a full day. So come well rested. Wear layers in case you get cold or hot. And then, you know, they're sitting at tables with other couples. So there's a lot of community there. So you're going to meet couples that are in various stages of living in Atlanta and stages of life, that sort of thing. Be prepared to talk with your spouse, your future spouse. Mm-hmm. Like, there's going to be a lot of that individual time that you're going to talk through the elements that the different sections. So it's a full day. It's solid. So I think be prepared for that.
But again, you think about it, you're about to walk into a lifelong commitment.
Right.
So it's something that we need to be serious about.
Yes.
And if and if questions come up or concerns come up, perfect time to nip those in the bud before you walk down the aisle and say, I do.
And the couples and Jimmy as well are all, they always say, if you want to talk to us afterwards, please come up and ask questions. And many, many do. So that's wonderful as well.
That's great. And so, I mean, like you said, it's is a lifelong commitment. So the stakes are high. So what is your biggest hope for the marriages that begin with this foundation?
I think just that, you know, they have a good solid foundation. Mm-hmm. They've talked with other couples that have kind of sort of been through the trenches, so to speak, they understand that it isn't just a fun wedding and a one day woohoo. Yeah. That's part of it, but it's a lifelong thing. That it's a sacrament. It's a serious business. Mm-hmm. So hopefully they get that from the experience.
No, that's so great, Amy. Mm-hmm. So after these, couples have talked to their priest, how can these couples register for the workshop and where can they go to get more information?
Sure. They can go to Holy Spirit's main website and then just go to Sacraments, Marriage, and it's in there. So it's a very easy registration process. And like I said, November 15th is our next one. We have spots open, but it will fill up. And then the next date is in February. So all the 2026 dates are available. So
marvelous. Well, thank you so much, Amy McDonald, Director of Evangelization and Faith Formation at Holy Spirit, for unpacking this beautiful retreat, Building Your Marriage Before It Starts. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too.
Still to come on The Morning Quest.
Dr. Creek gives a psychological movie review of The Kid, uncovering themes of healing the inner child, self-compassion, and restoration. Our buddy Chuck Persner helps us get acquainted with St. Hildegard. But next, Father Adam Blatt, pastor of Christ Our King and Savior in Greensboro, Georgia, unpacks today's gospel reading.
Hi, I'm Father John Ricardo. Join me for Christ is the Answer today at noon. But now, let's return to The Morning Quest with Josh and Allison on AM 1160, The Quest.
It's 8:21.
Father Adam Blatt, pastor of Christ Our King and Savior in Greensboro, is back, and he is going to be reflecting on today's gospel. Good morning, Father.
Good morning, guys. It's always a pleasure to be here. Let's jump straight into the gospel of Luke.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus summoned the 12 and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He said to them, take nothing for the journey, neither walking stick nor sack nor food nor money, and let no one take a second tunic. Whatever house you enter, stay there and leave from there. And as for those who do not welcome you, when you leave that town, shake the dust from your feet in testimony against them. Then they set out and went from village to village, proclaiming the good news and curing diseases everywhere. Can you imagine that?
Mm.
Could you imagine if you spent time with that man, walking around, watching him do these things, and then he sends you away, and all of a sudden you're doing those things as well?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I can't imagine what's going on in their heads.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
The Chosen did a pretty cool job of depicting that. I mean, because it's like you see these guys putting their hands on people and all of a sudden these miraculous healings are taking place and they're just as shocked as the people.
They are. They're like, wait, I didn't know that was going to happen.
Yeah.
They are. You know, one of my favorite scenes in The Chosen is when little James catches Jesus, corners Jesus in the little alley off to the side right before they get sent out. He sends them all out, and then little James, who if you watch the show, you know he's got that handicap, and he's in tears, and he asked Jesus, you do all these miracles, you do all these healings, but you've never healed me, and now you want me, a cripple, to go and heal others, but you've never given me healing. And of course, Jesus is in tears because he loves little James, and it just the conversation and how he explains all that to him is just one of the most beautiful scenes. I mean, he tells, I'm paraphrasing, and go watch the show, go watch the scene. It'll do it way more justice than what I'm saying here. But essentially, he tells little James, look, you know, I'll heal you if you want, but I've chosen not to, you know, because your story's going to be better.
Yeah.
Your story's going to be something deeper. You know, these people have faith and believe because they were healed. You are believing even though you weren't. And how much more powerful is your story and your testimony now going to be? And he says it much more beautifully than I am right now. And he talks about how one day little James will dance through the fields like a running deer and all these things. And in the end, little James decides, you know, I'm not going to ask. Because I think Jesus gives him, if I'm not mistaken, he says, do you want me to heal you?
I think you're right
and
about that.
And I think little James says, you know what? I want your plan to be what it is. And he doesn't even ask for the healing. And
wow.
So he stays as is. Wow. It's a beautiful, beautiful scene.
Yeah.
Man, and it does highlight today's gospel. Beautiful. In today's gospel, I think Jesus, as he calls those 12 together and he gives them that power, that authority to heal and proclaim the kingdom. It was exciting. I'm sure it was exciting. After watching Jesus perform those miracles, now it's their turn to do the same.
Yeah.
But how many of them do you think, I mean, if Jesus came to you and said, hey, Josh, I'm going to give you the power to go heal people. Go out and do it. I mean, I don't know about you, but the first thing I would think is I am not I'm not worthy to do that. I can't
sure.
do that. I'm not
mm-hmm.
qualified to do that. And I think that's one of the big things that we, if you go deeper in this passage, this or just deeper in the message of Christ and the mission and his mission and who he calls in general, you're going to realize that it's really not about being qualified.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's sending these people out not because they're the best ones to do the job or because they're qualified. It's because they trust him and because they have the courage to say yes. And so because they say yes, Christ does great things through them. You know, I mean, I can't tell you the number of people who I ask, hey, can you lead this Bible study for me or can you do this small group for me? Oh, Father, I can't do that. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's not my skill set. I don't need you to be good at it. I just need you to be willing to say yes to it, mm-hmm. you know, and God will do the rest. How often do we just not trust him? You know, do we say no because we don't think we're good enough? I mean, if everybody waited till they were good enough,
nothing would get done.
God, exactly. Nothing would get done.
We wouldn't have a morning show.
No, absolutely.
I'm serious. We were both rather underqualified, but God doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called. And we had gifts that God used and put the right people in place to kind of make it all work. But it was a major step in faith.
It is. It's absolutely a huge step of faith, a leap of faith. And I think that leap of faith is... it's not just a lesson in taking that leap of faith and having a deeper faith, but it's also a lesson in for us, you know, to rely on him more,
mm-hmm.
you know, to realize that, hey, he's sending us, I'm not qualified, I can't do this, but I'm going to trust him. I'm going to rely on him that whatever the mission is, whatever my job is or my task or what he's asking, you know, gets done.
Wow. That's fantastic. God doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called.
Yeah. No, he totally does.
Yeah. It's like the mantra of every seminarian.
And I have a little quote here. This is from St. Bede the Venerable. By commanding them to take nothing for their journey, he taught them to trust not in what they possess, but in what was given them, that they might experience how great is the power of him who sent them. So I think that's ultimately the move we make, right? It, like you talked about with James is depicted in The Chosen, mm-hmm. we look backwards and we go, wow, my resume really was under-equipped for whatever this task was, and yet it got done not through my strength but through his.
Every time. The longer you do his work, the longer you're in ministry, the more you see that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you notice that, or people will notice if they really pay attention A lot of times those people in your parishes that are always at the same thing, you always get the same volunteers, the same people showing up to help out. It's because they know. You know, they were at a point early on in their life or early on in ministry or whatever, whenever it was, that where they were asked to do something that maybe they didn't feel they could.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden they took a chance and they did it. And all of a sudden they realized, wow, that really did work out. God really did help me with, you know, fill in the blank, whatever. And it built that trust.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden now they're like, you know what? Yeah, I'll say yes to whatever my priest needs me to do.
Mm-hmm.
You need me to leave a Bible study? I don't know anything about that, mm-hmm. but sure, I'll do it because I know it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why you see the same people over and over again, because it's those people who know that it's going to be okay, that God's calling them and that he will take care and work through them for, you know, in whatever endeavor it might be. The hardest people to get to say yes in a parish to help are the ones who haven't done anything yet.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
If you just get them in that door one time, they begin to realize that, hey, it's going to be okay.
But that's the key. If you get them in that one time, then they might become season regulars, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
So, Father, what's a good takeaway for this gospel today?
Well, I think a good takeaway maybe to realize that, you know, even though Jesus sends these people to the ends of the earth, so to speak, at the time, maybe our mission doesn't necessarily have to be across the world. But maybe the mission that Christ is sending us on, the evangelization that we're called to do, it could be simply across the street.
Yes.
Or to a neighbor, a friend, or even someone in our own home, a family member. I think the important thing to realize is that wherever he sends us, that we go as a light. As a light of Christ, and that we go in faith and trust that we already have what we truly need because he goes with us, and he is all that we need.
Amen.
Amen. Go on a high note. Thank you so much, Father Adam Blatt, pastor of Christ, our King and Savior in Greensboro, Georgia.
Thank you, guys.
Now for some really good news. The Diocese of Raleigh in North Carolina is leading the nation in Catholic conversions. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
According to a new analysis by Catholic World Report, the study found that Raleigh is actually the most conversion-rich diocese in the United States, with more than 700 adult baptisms and receptions into the church. That was just last year alone.
Wow.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
So it gets more exciting. That's remarkable in a state where Catholics make up only, get this, 7% of the population.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Yeah. And Raleigh's faith formation director credits the vibrant parish outreach and growing witness of Hispanic immigrants, many who are now receiving long-awaited sacraments. And for us, there is a local connection. Check this out, guys. The Raleigh Diocese is shepherded by Bishop Louis Zarama, who was formerly an auxiliary bishop of the Archdiocese of Atlanta.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah. I got a chance to interview him a couple years ago at the Eucharistic
Congress.
Congress, yeah. Yes. And he's a great guy.
Fantastic.
He's a great guy. So, you know, so on your car, you've got a catalytic converter, which people steal, but apparently more valuable are the Catholic converters. Right?
Dad.
Oh, he's available for birthday parties and weddings and anniversaries.
That is so hilarious.
If any of our Jewish listeners, he'll do bar mitzvahs as well.
I love it.
Later on the Morning Quest.
Dr. Crete gives us a psychological movie review on The Kid, uncovering themes of healing the inner child, self-compassion, and restoration. Our buddy Chuck Persner next is going to get us acquainted with St. Hildegard.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio. This is The Morning Quest.
Finding joy in the journey
with Josh and Allison. Time now to get acquainted with the sainted.
It's 8:35.
Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning, Allison. So every year on September 17th, which was a week ago today, the Catholic Church actually celebrates two renowned and beloved saints in St. Robert Bellarmine, the great cardinal and doctor of the church, who we discussed back on the 11th of September.
Yes.
Josh and I, and then got ahead of that one. So that leaves us with the woman who he shares the day with, St. Hildegard of Bingen, also a doctor of the church, I might add, and one of only four women to achieve that title, and the most recent one, I might add.
Uh-huh.
Before I begin, I would be remiss if I didn't add more confusion to this discussion and also give a nod to our Franciscan brothers and sisters who, as a worldwide family celebrate the feast of the Stigmata of St. Francis every year on September 17th. So for those of you who are on your way to daily mass on September 17th, and for that matter, if you go next year, well, place your bets because we don't know how the dice are going to fall. You may get one of those three, depending upon what church you go to. But suffice to say, lots to celebrate on the 17th of September. Just one of those days in the Catholic Church, those special days. But there's always so much to celebrate in the Catholic
Church.
Absolutely.
Really.
But on to St. Hildegard of Bingen, who was born in the year 1098 to a large and noble German family. She began to have mystical visions at the age of three. Yeah, and they continued throughout the remainder of the 78 years of her life. So this was a woman who lived into her 80s. Her parents promised her to the service of God and in turn sent her to be educated at the Benedictine Abbey when she was about 8 years old.
Wow.
So she was on the spiritual fast track there. And at the age of 14, she became a consecrated nun attached to the Abbey, where she lived a very quiet life of prayer for many, many years. But by the time she turned 38, after the Anchoress's death, she was chosen as the new leader of this growing and prayerful Benedictine group of nuns. She was an avid composer of sacred music and liturgy. In addition to poems and plays, she also wrote heavily on theology, natural medicine, and natural science. So Hildegard was truly a remarkable and unusual woman for her day. She lived an unusual life for a woman of her time. At the age of 42, she began writing down what she saw in her visions, and her works were widely read, even by the Pope. And leaders around the world sought her counsel. Her fame as a mystic and prophetess grew, earning her the name Sibyl of the Rhine. Hildegard of Bingen's visions caused her to see humans as what she liked to call, and I quote, living sparks of God's love coming from God as daylight comes from the sun.
Wow.
Sin destroyed the original harmony of creation. This we know. Christ's redeeming death and resurrection opened up these new possibilities, these new living sparks, as she called them. Virtuous living, of course, reduces that estrangement from God, as she was always quick to say, and others that sin causes. More nuns flocked to join her. This group began to grow and grow, causing Hildegard to establish a new monastery at Rupertsburg. She just needed a bigger facility. Needed to grow, and it's always a great thing to see. She wrote proficiently on the harmony of created nature and man's need to live in balance with it, especially in virtue, morality, and of course with the love of God, which ultimately led Pope Benedict the 16th to declare her, as I had mentioned earlier, the fourth female doctor of the church in the year 2012. He also canonized her that very same year. And it's not that long ago, really.
No, it's
not. But she shares that very sublime and unique distinction alongside Teresa of Avila, Catherine of Siena, and of course the Little Flower.
Yes, Saint Teresa of Lisieux.
And because her works were far ahead of her time, she's regarded as a historical phenomenon for those who know about her. She's kind of like the forgotten female doctor of the church. Most people who are in tune to the Catholic faith and understand a little about saints, they know that the other three are doctors. But Hildegard, to me, is a woman who we've really only scratched the surface on, perhaps because she lived so long ago. But she is considered the founder of scientific natural history in Germany. Abbess, artist, author, composer, mystic, pharmacist, poet, teacher, theologian. You get it all with St. Hildegard of Bingen.
Well, you do. And she's the patron saint of music, composers, writers, unofficially considered a patron of creativity, the arts, environment, and women. So, wow, so many different areas that we can call on her intercession.
That's neat. Yeah. And I think she, you know, we have a few saints we can call upon as the patron saint of musicians. St. Cecilia comes to mind as well. But that's, you know, a number of patronages. You can always tell when a saint's had that huge impact across a number of different disciplines. They tend to be a patron or patroness of a number of different things. St. Hildegard.
So here's a quote from her. Dare to declare who you are. It is not far from the shores of silence to the boundaries of speech. The path is not long, but the way is deep. You must not only walk there, you must be prepared to leap.
You know, you mentioned that quote. I can't help but think of Charlie Kirk. He really espoused and embodied that quote. And that he was true to who he was, and he was not afraid to speak in a civil manner to defend the truth. A good man of God. It's a shame we lost him in such a tragic way.
No, I agree completely. Here's another quote. Even in a world that's being shipwrecked, remain brave and strong.
Yeah, great imagery there. And, you know, of course, she lived long before we did. At the tail end of the year 1098, she was born. Lived, as we mentioned, a rich life into her 80s, into the 1100s. But it shows you that for those of you who may be feeling that the world has really lost its way.
Yeah.
No matter when you lived, it always felt like there was a shipwreck.
Yes.
Somewhere, you know,
yes.
Because evil is always prevalent.
Yes.
It's like the air we breathe in some respects. In fact, St. Padre Pio once said that if we could see the demons, they would block out the sun. Mm. There's so many demons in the world. However, there are many angels and yes. There are many great saints too.
Amen.
And the battle's real. We just have to remember that.
And pray, pray, pray. Listen to this quote, Chuck.
Okay.
Don't let yourself forget that God's grace rewards not only those who never slip, but also those who bend and fall. So sing. The song of rejoicing softens the hearts. It makes tears of godly sorrow flow from them. Singing summons the Holy Spirit. Happy praises offered in simplicity and love lead the faithful to complete harmony without discord. So don't stop singing.
All right.
It's beautiful.
A nod to her love of music
yes.
and composing and
yes.
poetry. Just a true woman of the arts, but a holy and theological woman as well.
Yeah.
Great. You know, as we're talking, I'm also thinking with OCIA programs beginning in earnest, that would be a great choice. And I know I'm early on this, but that would be a great choice for a confirmation day.
Oh, yes.
For the women, as the women listening, you know,
yes.
And I do remember in the one year, a number of years ago, there was one woman who chose St. Hildegard of Bingen, and she promptly went on to join the choir at our church.
Wow.
And it was in a nod to Hildegard's love of music and her love of music and to sing.
Beautiful, beautiful.
And Allison, I think you have another quote.
I do have one. This is another good one. Be not lax in celebrating. Be not lazy in the festive service of God. Be ablaze with enthusiasm. Let us be a live, burning offering before the altar of God. And again, that's how we are called to be.
Yeah.
On fire for the Lord.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, to me, the best way is to live that life is to receive the Eucharist as often as you can.
Yeah.
Because what does our Lord say? Unless you eat my body and drink your blood, you have no life within you.
Mm-hmm.
And with so many people walking away from the Eucharistic table, we have a lot of the living dead in our midst today.
Yeah.
And we need to get back to that Eucharistic table.
And you know what? And just go and also go be in adoration. Just go sit in the presence of Christ in the Holy Eucharist.
Yeah. Slow things down. Just listen
yes.
and pray and just enjoy his company. As St. Padre Pio used to say. So yeah, great, great, great saint today, and one who perhaps doesn't get the recognition and notoriety that she deserves, mm-hmm. but I guess that's why we're here.
Amen.
St. Hildegard of Bingen.
Pray for us.
The Morning Quest keeps on rolling on AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
At 8:43, we are telling you that, well, actually, yesterday we celebrated 1 year.
Yes,
for the
Morning
Show.
Morning Quest. Yes.
How
one
about
year.
That? Yes.
That happened so fast.
It really did, and it's been on this side of the microphone. It's awesome. Hopefully, people listening think it's awesome, and if it is something that you enjoy listening to, that's why we had our pledge drive last week,
mm-hmm.
and we had a goal of $200,000. We didn't quite make it. We got up. What's that?
I was just going to tell him, and Dave's wages are getting garnished.
There we go again.
It's all your fault.
That's right.
Fault.
That's right.
Oh, Josh.
Dave's truck is on blocks thanks to you people. Okay?
And it's missing the catalytic converter.
Oh, my gosh.
So, no, but really, I mean, if you enjoy listening to the Morning Show, If you like listening to shows like The Family Room and Honest to God,
Crossed Wires,
all that stuff, it takes resources to mm-hmm. make that happen. So I just want to let you know that the pledge drive was last week with the $200,000 goal. We've extended it. Our anonymous donors have agreed to do the matching money. We've got at least, like I said, I'll have to wait till after 9 when the office people get here, but we've got at least $7,000 in matching money. So if you would like to make a donation, make a monthly pledge,
mm-hmm.
it will be doubled. Okay.
And people hear this. I mean, wow. People from out of town, you know, I've heard listen to the show. So
mm-hmm.
this is evangelization.
Mm-hmm.
So any donation you make, it's evangelizing to the masses about Christ and his church. And that's what we're all here for. That's what we sign up for.
Absolutely. So you can go to thequestatlanta.com or the Quest Atlanta app on your phone. And you can make a donation there.
And if that app is not on your phone, download the app.
It should be.
It should be Apple or Android. So download the Quest apps. You can hear us wherever you are.
Coming up on the Morning Quest.
Remember our memory verse this week, Proverbs 12:23. The shrewd conceal knowledge, but the hearts of fools proclaim folly. Closing us strong, Dr. Crete gives a psychological movie review on The Kid, uncovering themes of healing the inner child, self-compassion, and restoration.
Hi, this is Anna Mitchell. Join Matt Swaim and me tomorrow morning from 6 to 8 for the Sunrise Morning Show on AM 1160 The Quest. But now, let's return to The Morning Quest on your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
It's 8:47.
We're joined by Dr. Jerry Crete, founder of Transfiguration Counseling, as he helps us unpack a classic movie, The Kid, through a spiritual and psychological lens. You can find more of his amazing articles, by the way, at soulsandhearts.com. Thanks for joining us, Doctor.
Hey, great to be here.
So for those of us who may not be familiar with The Kid, can you give us a quick overview of the story and why you think it's a powerful film for exploring our inner child?
Yes. So this is a movie. It stars Bruce Willis, and we meet him, and he's, you know, got his life together, at least from a superficial point of view. He's a successful kind of public relations guy. He's got tons of money, a great apartment or house, I guess, and everything's going well, sort of, in his life, until he encounters this kid. And of course, you know, the kid turns out to be his inner child, you know. So this is a movie that's sort of magical realism, you know, kind of like, you know, the Santa Claus movies with Tim Allen and that. Like, it's got a bit of magic in it, but it really allows us to encounter, or allows this character in a way to encounter his own life through the eyes of his inner child.
Yeah. And so this movie uses this kind of fantasy realism to make the inner child visible, right? So from a psychological standpoint, how does this connect with the kind of work you do?
Because I do ego state therapy or internal family systems, this parts work approach, it's about looking inside and understanding the parts of the self system, right?
Yeah.
So this is a beautiful example, like, to get that idea across. I mean, some people have a hard time kind of picturing their inner world, like, and the idea of what is a part, right? How do I have a part, and what does that mean? Well, this movie does a beautiful job of kind of bringing that home a little bit, that most of us can relate to this idea that maybe there's a part of ourselves deep within that reflects or somehow, in, you know, it represents our some child version of ourselves that perhaps is still stuck in that time of our lives because of some perhaps major wounding.
Speaking of being stuck in a place, right? This guy looks like he has it all together. He's a successful adult, Russ, the main character, on the outside, but completely disconnected from intimacy and joy. So spiritually speaking, how does this mirror the danger of forgetting who we are in God?
Yeah, absolutely. Because I would say we are created to be loved, and we're created for love, and we're created to offer love. So really, the goal, ultimate goal of our lives is love, right? Love for God, ultimately, but love for others as well. And so here we have a guy who is successful financially, but he has no deep personal relationships at all. We see his disconnection from his father. We learn, of course, where that comes from his childhood. We learn about that later. But he's disconnected from his father. He doesn't have any significant relationships, whether friendships or romantic relationships. And he is pretty dismissive toward other people in his lives. The closest friend he has is his assistant.
Yeah.
And I believe that's Lily Tomlin, right, is playing that part.
Okay.
And anyhow, if I'm remembering it right.
Yeah.
And she just kind of puts up with him and is very good to him, but he doesn't actually even see her as a human being.
Yeah.
Right? So he is, like you said, disconnected from his deeper, certainly his deeper spiritual center.
Yeah.
Absolutely disconnected. So one, from a parts perspective, we might say that at least one part, maybe a cluster of parts of the self, that are these sort of manager parts, that are also protective parts that keep him locked down, right? And keep him being a tough guy, being a professional, being like no nonsense, and, you know, driven by basically making money.
Yeah. And so one of the turning points, right, this guy has a very hardened shell, comes when Russ assures him, his younger self, it's not your fault. Why is that moment so healing psychologically? What does it reveal about, you know, the power of self-compassion?
Yeah. Well, I think before he can get to that place of compassion for himself, he has to actually understand a little bit, like, what is that part's concerns? I mean, I love it when the young kid shows up and he's like, you don't even have a dog. I grew up to be a loser, basically. From the kid's perspective, he's a loser. He doesn't have a girlfriend. He doesn't have a dog. You know, what's wrong, right? And so once the character is able to, like, connect a bit with understanding that part, and then he's willing to go on this journey kind of in time, if you will, to actually figure out or discover what happened to him at a certain point in time where he got closed off.
Yeah.
And suddenly, and there's this sort of a powerful scene where he, you know, the kid is being bullied and he's witnesses that. But more than that, after that, he also encounters his father yelling at him, almost blaming him, like, after his mother's death. And so all of a sudden, the main character wakes up and sees, oh my gosh, this kid, this part of me was seriously wounded and hurt in a deep way. And that was the beginning of me closing off my my desire to connect with others.
Yeah, gosh. And speaking of that trauma and that wound, right? So the film highlights how unresolved childhood trauma can distort adult choices. So how can Catholic spirituality alongside therapy help people face those hidden wounds instead of burying them and hopefully walk through them?
Yeah, yeah. So in internal family systems language, we would call that inner child an exile. So that the child, the one that he still loves to play, he wants that dog, you know, he's just, you know, fun, loving, he's a kid, you know, is so far away in his system. He had, until this magical intervention, he had no access to it whatsoever.
Yeah.
So I kind of see that as grace. Like, sometimes God, right, is going to prompt us. He's going to have a moment of grace where we are, maybe we're broken down, you know, maybe it's because we have to hit some kind of rock bottom, or we get some kind of insight, or, you know, maybe we see a movie or we hear a story and we're like, oh man, that's me, you know? So something has to happen where, you know, the inner heart, if you will, the inmost self is sort of awakened.
Yeah.
And so to me, even this movie can do that for people. Like, I probably shed a tear, right? Like, watching this movie going, whoa, you know, is that me? To what extent is that me?
Mm-hmm.
What it boils down to, though, is how do we access, again, this is my big theme, is our inner world and understanding our different parts. And just as Jesus goes out and finds the lost sheep and brings it home, we are to find those lost sheep, those exiles within ourselves, and bring them home. And bring, give them whatever we needed. Like, that, what did that kid need in the movie? The kid needed some love and understanding and some protection at that time that he didn't get.
Yeah.
And so now, as we bring the lost sheep home, as we bring those exiles in, we're conscious of, whoa, what did that part of me always need and still needs? And how can I meet that need now?
Yeah.
Right? And therefore, and my system will be enriched by that presence. That lost part of me it's not a problem once it's unburdened of its pain. It actually becomes a rich resource. And we see that at the end of this film, right? When he finally does, you know, embrace this child and everything else, then he has a new lease on life.
Yeah.
He wants to start, he gets a dog. He this girl that has been in, you know, orbiting his world for a while, he connects with her on an emotional level and a romantic level. You know, there's the image, they have this sort of a theme of this airplane, this like red airplane that's flying around, and it's sort of like the symbol, I think, of like freedom.
Yeah.
Right. And so when he does connect and bring in his exile, when he does connect with his heart, suddenly there's this freedom.
How does this concluding image, right, of this internal integration point us towards a Christian hope of restoration, both in this life and eternally?
Yeah, big question, but ultimately it's all about hope. It's like we do have the power with grace, as we cooperate with grace, to bring this inner harmony to our system, which itself gives us freedom and gives us this ability to live life fully and abundantly. And that's what we're called. We're not meant to be miserable our whole lives. We're meant to live abundantly and richly. And I think this movie shows that.
Thank you so much, Dr. Jerry Creep, founder of Transfiguration Counseling, unpacking the classic movie, The Kid, through a spiritual and psychological lens. Learn more about his amazing articles on soulsandhearts.com. And if they want to learn more about your counseling services, where can they go?
Transfiguration.co.
Thank you, doctor.
The Morning Quest continues to find joy in the journey on AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
We are back, and with just a little bit of time on the clock, we wanted to share some important news with you guys. Many listeners are fans and have been touched by the life of Monsignor Fennessy, who passed away and went to his eternal reward September 15th. And they are having a visitation tonight at St. Jude Catholic Church. I believe that's 6 p.m. From what I understand, I believe a 6:30 vigil, and it takes place from 6 to 9. Then tomorrow, there will be a funeral mass at 10 a.m., Cathedral of Christ the King. You're going to want to get there early if you're trying to get a seat. I can promise you it will be packed to the rafters.
Definitely.
And overflowing. Yeah, absolutely. They'll be probably opening up a separate room. So just be prepared and, certainly say a prayer for the repose of Monsignor Fennessy's soul. And so grateful we had such a heroic shepherd in our diocese.
And one thing I'll throw in, too, the last hour of our pledge drive last week, we dedicated to Monsignor. So we got some, a lot of people said that kind of touched them. Mm-hmm. So we're going to replay that tomorrow at right after the Divine Mercy at 3 o'clock.
Oh, fantastic. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Well, let's close this thing out the holy way. Glory be to the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Have a great day, and may you find joy in the journey.